Happy Mother's Day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for this day. Thank you for another opportunity to preach your word, dear Heavenly Father, to lift up the name of Jesus and to proclaim the truth. Let the world know that Jesus says he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by him. Lord, thank you. Thank you for those words. And Lord, I just pray that with all that's within me and all that I have, that the name of Jesus will be lifted up, that lives will be challenged, minds will be changed, and souls will be saved. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. If you would, please, turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. In the King James Bible, it reads, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. This passage talks about honoring the father and the mother. But today, since it's Mother's Day, we're going to skip Daddy. We're going to put him off to the side till Father's Day. Amen? But the Bible gives you both. And that's important to speak that in our society, because right now there's a lot of talk going around that not only do you not need a father, but you don't even need a man with a woman or a woman with a man. I mean, that's the talk that's out there, y'all. And so the Bible speaks of mother and father and honoring the father and the mother. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to kind of keep our focus on the mothers. We're going to talk about the many hats of a godly woman. The many, as in multiple, hats of a godly woman. Today I'll be doing something more of what we just call topical preaching, because there's so many, when you talk about the different hats that mothers wear, my goodness, where do we start? She's the head chef at most houses. In modern day culture, she also brings in a paycheck in most houses. She's the chauffeur of all the children. She's the one who says to her husband, "Honey, it's your mother's birthday. You need to call her." That's the things that mothers do. They keep you on track with your family. It's your brother's birthday. Are you going to call your brother? They are the glue. They are the glue that keeps families together. But unfortunately, in this day and age, they are the most underappreciated glue that keeps the family together. In fact, it's so sad. I remember a time when my wife, who chose to stay home and not go to work outside of the home, she didn't choose to stay home and not go to work, because there was actually more work at home. If she wanted to escape, she could have left, but I wouldn't let her. But there were some ladies who came over. I don't know if they came with my sister or whatever. It was some kind of a fraternity sorority thing. And they looked down. They looked at her with disdain because they were professional women. And I was like, she got as good as grades as any of them. She went to college like they did. She's got an education. But she made a choice to spend more time at home, and God blessed, to where she was able to put some more into the children. Now, if ladies want to go to work, that's fine. If lady wants to be a professional career, that's fine. But if a lady wants to stay at home, why is she looked down upon as some kind of,
show you today in God's book, God's holy book, where the women of the Bible, the mothers, and some of them aren't mothers, we aren't sure, some of them are aunties. Ladies, don't ever let anybody talk you out of the impact that you have and the influence that you have in making and shaping the world. You have, God has given you this gift. And sometimes it's because it's underappreciated by the world. Don't you devalue being a mother. Don't you devalue how much impact, because everybody in here, I said it earlier, everybody in here is the product of a mother. Everybody here. How important is that? You are alive today thanks to mama. And she may not have been what you thought she should be, but she kept you. And she took care of you. At least she brought you into this world. And some of us in it, I've talked to enough people to know that some people had some really difficult childhoods. But I'm here to tell you, at least she got you here. And as long as you're here, you got an opportunity. That's why we give to the Pregnancy Resource Center, because we want these children to have an opportunity to come into the world. Today we're going to talk about mothers, and I hope that when we're finished, we'll have a little bit more appreciation for what they've done. And for those of you who have had godly mothers, my prayer is that you want to emulate them on some of the things that they did. But most of all, when we finish today, I want everybody to just say, thank you, God, for my mother. Thank you for my mother. They don't hear it enough, y'all. They don't hear it enough. When they're up at night, when they're worried about, they let you go down the street and then they are praying because you're down the street and you should be okay, but nobody knows. We live in a dangerous world. We're going to talk about five hats that a godly mother wears. Five hats. There's more. But five hats that a godly mother wears. We're going to talk about the hat of faith. We're going to talk about the hat of a God-fearing mother. We're going to talk about the hat of prayer, the hat of praise, and the hat of obedience. The hat of faith, fear, prayer, praise, obedience. And what you're going to see is the Bible is replete with mothers and women who have shaped all of history. When you read that passage in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, and it says, honor your father and your mother, and it says this is the first commandment with promise. Think about that. God is saying, honor your parents. What's he saying? He's saying, listen to your mother. Listen to the godly things that your mother teaches you. And when you go to the book of Proverbs, there's at least 14 references in the book of Proverbs about children. Listen to your mother. Children, listen to your mother and your father. Children, listen. So look at it. So look. If children are supposed to listen, mothers are supposed to teach. And they're supposed to teach godly precepts, not what thus you think, but what thus saith the Lord. And he says, mothers, by you teaching, by you taking the time to teach your children, by you taking the time to sit with them and hold them and talk with them, by you taking that time, if that's the first command with promise, he says, I promise that your days, what's he saying? That it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Make the connection, children. Make the connections, mothers. God says, if you'll spend some time, if you'll put your children here where they need to be and everything else in its balance where it needs to be, he goes, you will extend your children's life. Why? Because as long as you're giving them godly wisdom, guess what? You will help them avoid a lot of terrible, terrible things in this world. Mama, just by you spending some time with your children, the ones that God gave you, and then some of us got ones that God gave somebody else, we got to bring them on in, teach them too. But just by mothers, if the Bible says children, obey and honor your father and your mother, just by the very word of telling them to obey means you are required to teach them. And you're required to teach them godly precepts. And he's saying right here, their very existence, their very life, the quality of life and the length of life actually depends on what? What you do. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. What a charge. What a charge. As a man, the Bible tells me all I'm supposed to do is go to work. And we'd be trying to find a way not to do that. We'd come up with a philosophy, hey, you know, I can be Mr. Mom. And the world has bought that hook, line, sinker, and boat. Yeah, I can do just as good as mother. No, you can't. God didn't equip us to be mothers. Nowhere in the Bible is that. That's a fight against human nature. That's a slap in the face of God. No, men are not Mr. Mom. He's dad. Are you supposed to be dad? Faith, a woman of faith, a mother of faith, fear, prayer, praise, and obedience. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 11:23. Let's talk about a mother of faith. Let's see, because the Bible, God puts all these illustrations in for us, y'all, so that we can know these things, so that we can know it's possible, so that we can know that even in the midst of very difficult circumstances, you can still be a mother who holds on to strong faith. And it reads in Hebrews 11:23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith. You want to know about that story? That story is written out for us in Exodus. And it's a story talking about Moses' mama. Moses' mama, and how her name was Jochebed. And Jochebed, in Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, it talks about the story of how a mother's faith, how God used a mother because of her strong faith to preserve her child. Moses. Everybody knows about Moses. Everybody knows about Moses, the great deliverer. Everybody knows about Moses, the lawgiver. Everybody knows that Moses went to Mount Sinai and Moses stood against Pharaoh. Everybody knows that. And people, I want to be like Moses. But look, how did Moses get to be Moses? Through the faith of his mother, Jochebed. The king, it's in Exodus 2, 1 through 10. I won't read it, but I'll tell you about it. The king had issued an edict. The federal government had said, kill all the baby boys. Don't save any of them. You can keep the women. You can keep the girl babies. But kill all the baby boys. Kill them. And the Bible told us in Hebrews, it said, Jochebed, his mama, by faith. Don't you know when you disobey the federal government, there could be some serious ramifications or repercussions? Don't you know that? But it says that Jochebed, by faith, by how she trusted God, God had given her this son, and she trusted God. And the Bible says that she took some bulrushes. She took some some material and she smoothed it out with pitch and slime, and she made this little waterproof baby container. And the Bible says she didn't know what's going to happen to her son. Y'all understand? See, when we read this stuff, we go, oh, that's no big deal. She kept her son for about 3 months, and she couldn't hide it anymore. She couldn't hide that she had a baby. She couldn't hide that she had a boy child, and the government had told her, kill him. And she couldn't hide it anymore. But she said, I got to trust God. I can't lean on my own understanding. I got to trust God. Because I know what's right, and I know what's wrong, and I got to trust God. And the Bible says she made this little ark. And she put her baby in the ark, not knowing what God was going to do, but by faith. Mamas, y'all got, we always want to live by sight, especially in America. But we just, you know, if I can't see it, I can't believe it. That's just, we got to get beyond that, because we are a spiritual people. Yes, we live in this world, but we're not of this world. And we see things. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will allow you to see things afar off. He speaks all truth to us. And so by faith, Jochebed took this baby boy and she put him along the side of the river. And the Bible says that Pharaoh's daughter, the king's daughter, y'all remember where in the New Testament where Jesus told Peter, he says, by the time the rooster crows three times, you're going to be denied me three times. How did that work? Because God knows everything. God sent the rooster just at the right time. So by the time Peter let out the last denial, all of a sudden, there goes the rooster. By faith, Jochebed put this baby into the river. God's watching, y'all. And it says that the little baby's sister went off to the side to see what was going to happen. Because mama couldn't stand too close by, y'all. Because mama, if mama had been seen, it'd been all over. But the big sister was standing by. And the Bible says the big sister watched and watched. And guess who God brought out to come and bathe? The king's daughter. The king. He didn't bring out just any old body. Because God had a plan for Moses' life. You and I don't know what God has planned for our children. We have no clue what God's going to use our children to do. But he says, why you got them? Why you got those little ones? Why you got those grandbabies? Why you got those nieces and nephews that won't go away? Keep them. Welcome them to your house. Welcome them into the house. Some of y'all are stepmamas. Oh, y'all got a horrible name. Y'all got, ooh, wicked stepmother. Ooh, horrible name. You can change that. You can change that by faith. Love those children in submission. I don't know how they got there, and I really don't care how they got there. But if you're their stepmama, love them. Because you don't know what God is going to do with you that will impact that child and what he will do or what she will do for the world. You have no clue. So here Moses' sister is standing by, and the king's daughter comes out to take her bath. And she's out there, and all of a sudden she looks over. She peeps over to the side. She sees this little baby container. And she goes over, and the Bible says she opens it up. And she opens it up, and she says, it's a little Hebrew child. He's circumcised. Little Hebrew baby, not rocket science. But aren't they all supposed to be getting killed? Aren't all the Hebrew babies, baby boys, supposed to be thrown into the river and drowned? Maybe Jochebed misunderstood the commandment. Maybe when he said, throw him in the baby and drown, she said, put him in the boat and send him down the river. But here is the king's daughter. And she opens it up. And God has the baby cry. Right on time. Right on. Sometimes I see little kids waving to adults and talking to them in the mall, and they walk by and say, hi. And I see people harden their heart. I say, how do you not say hello to a little child who they all they just hi. Hi. Look what God did with that baby. And Pharaoh's daughter said, oh my goodness. She said, I can't kill this little baby. And next thing you know, here comes Moses' sister out of the side, off the sideline, and she rushes over and like, oh. Since that's a little Hebrew baby, would you like for me to go get a Hebrew mother so she can nurse the baby? And the king's daughter, Pharaoh's daughter, said, that sounds like a good idea. And guess what? By faith, she put the baby out in the water. And guess what God did? God honored her faith, because after his sister went to the Pharaoh's daughter and said, hey, let me get a Hebrew lady for you. She went and got his mama. Only God could do that, y'all. But she didn't know God was going to do this. She had no idea God was going to do this. All she knew is that she was going to disobey what the government said, because this was her baby. And she knew God said, don't kill him. And so what happened? The Bible says that they gave the baby to Moses' mother to nurse the baby till he was of an age that he could be weaned. And guess what Moses' mama was teaching him that whole time? Baby, let me tell you who you belong to. Baby, let me tell you about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Baby, let me tell you about your people. Baby, let me tell you about your God. And to round it all off and end it all up, guess what, church? The Bible says that when Moses came of age, he chose to turn his back on the riches of Egypt, the richest, most powerful nation on the planet at that time. And Moses looked at everything that shined and everything that they had to offer him. And he says, I'll pass on that, and I'm going to go and serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it all happened because by faith, his mama, who trusted in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because his mama took a stand. And when his mama had time to put time into him, she molded him, she shaped him, she taught him. Oh, ladies, please understand, you got something. See, men, we don't have the patience. You don't know that by now? Get out of here. God has given y'all a built-in something that y'all can hear that crying and know that there's something. I just turned the TV up louder. But God has put something in women. He did it so that you could be a woman of faith. But what about a God-fearing woman? I want you to know a little bit about Jochebed. Jochebed is Moses' mama. And by faith, Jochebed put Moses into the river, trusting God. But also, I want you to know about some other women who were just as strong and just as devout as Jochebed. And the Bible says that these women feared God. Turn your Bibles to Exodus 1, 21 and 22. Exodus 1, 21 and 22. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. This, first we talked about the faith of Jochebed, but how do we get to the point to where all this transpired? Just so you'll know for your history records, Jochebed had three children. She had Aaron, who was Moses' older brother, and she had Miriam and Moses. She had three. Now, wait a minute. How did Aaron Moses' oldest brother, if the Pharaoh had sent out an edict that said all boys are to be killed by the midwives as they're coming out of their mother's womb. So how did Aaron, who's just a couple years older than Moses, how did he survive? The Bible says he survived because of God-fearing women. He survived because there were some women. And what does he say there? He says, they feared God, and they feared God more than they feared the federal government. I can't pass this, y'all. I can't pass this right now. I can't pass this up. See, because in the law of the land of America, we're told, hey, you can kill your baby. Anytime you got, don't you realize that the most dangerous place for a baby, the most dangerous place for a black baby in America today, the most dangerous place is in the womb of a pregnant woman, black woman, in New York City. You read about people being shot out on the streets, people being shot down here and shot down there. I want you to know, the fact of the matter is, more babies are killed in this fashion in the womb of the black women in New York City. We got to start fearing God, y'all. And we got to start encouraging these young girls. And some of them aren't so young. We got to start encouraging them and let them know there's a way out of this. The Bible says that these women, even though the king of the nation told them, when that baby comes out, you better kill him. You save the girls, but you better kill him. You better kill him. And the Bible says, they looked at it and they said, uh-uh. See, this is one of those hats that mama got to wear. Mama's got to be able to say, no, I fear God more than I fear what man can do to me. Mamas, watch out. Because right now, the federal government of the United States of America has said to North Carolina, you have got to pass a bill that says that men can go into women's restrooms if they feel like a woman. You better watch out, church. You better watch out, church. And mothers, you have when mama say, what's that old saying? If mama's happy, everybody happy. That's the truth. If mamas are not pleased with the laws that are being passed in this country, mama, you got to say something. You can't go alone to get along. You think about your children. Think about your children. Some men, and I saw an article on the news the other day, and I thought it was so ludicrous. They were trying to find a peeping Tom, trying to find a man who was peeping into the ladies' restroom. He ain't got to peep no more. He can walk right in. He can walk right in, say, today I feel like a woman, and ain't a thing you can do about it. Unless you fear God enough to where you'll stand up, and speak out. You got to, mamas. You got to. It's time out for all this. Well, I'll let somebody else do it. No, these midwives, they said, we're gonna take a stand. No. This is all kinds of wrong. We're going to take a stand. And the Bible says, for these women who feared God more than they feared the government. And see, I'm just, all I'm doing, you know, I'm not trying to make up stuff. I'm just putting in what the Bible is clearly telling you. I'm not bashing anybody in the government today. I'm just telling you what laws are coming down so you will know. I don't want Good Shepherd not to be an informed church. When the federal government, when the President of the United States and the Department of Justice of the United States comes down on a state and they say to the state, if you don't let these men go into any restroom they want, we will take your state to court and we will sue you until we can bleed you financially dry. Something's wrong, America. Something's radically wrong. When you have companies like PayPal and the NBA and the NFL and the NCAA, and they all come along and say, amen, something's wrong, church. men and mothers aren't standing enough, church. We aren't making enough racket, church. We aren't taking a stand. These Hebrew midwives, do you understand that the most powerful, Pharaoh determined if you lived or if you died. Just by his voice, by the gesture of his hand, Pharaoh determined if you lived or if you died. And these women knew that. And yet still they said, we fear God more than we fear Pharaoh. Women of faith. Women who fear God. Because these women feared God, Aaron, Moses' older brother, was still alive. Because these women feared God, I believe that was part of the inspiration for why Jochebed said, if they can do it, I can do it. Don't you know there are women in your sphere? There's women in your sphere of influence. Many of you ladies, your Facebook with who knows how many people, I don't know. You got all these folks that you Facebook friend with. What kind of godly influence are you giving them? Is it just a chat room for idle gossip? Or is it somewhere where you, when somebody looks up to you, because like I said, a part of this message, I want us to emulate other godly women and appreciate godly women. So when you find yourself in that situation, are you going to be a Jochebed? Are you going to stand for God? Are you going to be like one of the midwives? Are you going to stand for God? Or when you see somebody on Facebook or on Twitter saying, yeah, how dare North Carolina get out there and hate people? How dare they discriminate against people? Are you going to be the one who says, it's not discrimination. It's called discernment. It's called godliness and ungodliness. Are you going to be the one who lets those people know, those men who think this way and those women who think that way and their minds are twisted? Are you going to be the one who lets them know there's a way out? Are you going to be the one who lets them know, call on the name of Jesus? He'll say, something is wrong with your thinking. Are you going to be the one to stand and do that? Or are you going to be the one who steps back and say, well, you know, you can't help who you love. You can't help who you love. I got a question for you, church. If you can't help who you love, do you take that same argument with a pedophile, with a man who messes with little boys? Do you take that same argument? He said, I loved him. Do you accept that argument? Well, if you don't accept it there, don't accept it anyplace else, because that's called spiritual schizophrenia. Women of faith. Women who fear God. Let's talk about women of prayer. What the hat of prayer. Because mothers, you gotta have all this stuff together. Y'all got so much stuff. But you know what? God has equipped you to be like this. You need to be a woman, a mother of prayer. Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. We're going to talk about a lady named Hannah. See, the Bible is replete with women who have been what we call strong women. But guess what? They were so strong, they didn't have to tell anybody they were strong. When you got to tell somebody you're strong, you ain't strong. Let's talk about Hannah. Hannah was the wife of Elkanah, and Hannah, God hadn't opened her womb. She wasn't able to have any children. And she longed to have children. And she had this desire. And she had this desire to not only have children, but she had desire to have children and point her children to God, to teach them to serve God. Not just so that Hannah can have a baby, but Hannah says, I want to have a baby so my baby can be used of you, God. Chapter 1, verses 1 and 10. Chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. And it reads, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me, and and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Look at this woman of prayer. Look at this woman. Hannah's situation was she wanted a baby. She wanted, not that she wanted just a baby, she wanted a man child. She wanted a son. That's what Hannah's request was. And the Bible said that Hannah spent some time in tears, y'all. Have you wanted something from God so bad enough that you cried for it? Have you wanted God to fix something so bad that it broke you down into tears? The Bible says that Hannah was in the temple Eli, the priest, was standing there, and he saw her, and she was just, her lips were moving, but nothing was coming out because she had so much pain. She had so much sorrow. She was so deep in prayer. Said her lips were moving. Nothing's coming out. Eli thought she was drunk. Eli accused her of being drunk. She said, no, my Lord, I ain't drunk. I just got a prayer that I got to pour everything I got into this prayer. Sometimes your kids get so wayward. You just got to pour everything you got into your prayers, mother. First, you give them everything you got when they're young, when they're malleable, when you have the time, when God blesses you. Give them everything you got. Give them your best and your job the rest. Don't give your job your best and your kids the rest. Because if you're doing it right, soon and very soon they'll be up and out. And what you put into them is going to come into play. And what you didn't put into them is going to come into play. Mothers of faith. Mothers of fear. Mothers who pray. Hannah cried. She cried for, she said, Lord, and guess what? She couldn't see a son coming. She was just trusting God. Y'all, we can't see the things that are going to happen in our families. We can't see the pitfalls. We can't see the roadblocks. But we ask God. We go to him. And we ask him to take care. We ask him to fix it. You may not. Hannah needed a child. Hannah wanted a son. What's your prayer? What's that one thing that you've been just saying, Lord, this is what I want. He said, ain't no harm in asking. In fact, not only did he say ain't no harm in asking, he said, you have not because you ask not. And I'm going to put in here, I'm going to say, if you want to emulate somebody, look at Hannah. Hannah came to the Lord. She said, Lord, I'm going to give it everything I got. I'm not holding back nothing. I'm pouring out my heart to God saying, Lord, fix it for me. Fix it. Because she was a lady of prayer. I know we got some great prayer warriors out here. I know that. But you know what? We still don't pray enough. No matter how much you pray right now, because when the Bible says pray without ceasing, is there anybody here who say they prayed without ceasing? I can't say that. So no matter where you're at in your prayer life, give him some more. He'll bless. Prayer changes things. The prayers of a righteous man or a woman availeth much. Got to put on that hat, mother. Put on that hat of prayer. And you know what? While you're training those kids, let them see that prayer. Sometimes we go back into our own private closet. But when they see it, that's when you take time to what? Teach them. Train them. Teach them. Train them. Because they're only with you for a little while. It'll go so fast, make your head spin. One day you're dropping them off at the front door of the school, and they running back at the car, and then next thing you know, you're 64 years old, and you're looking at your grandkids, and you're wondering where did the time go. while you got time, while you have the energy. Yeah. See, because once you get a certain age, it becomes too hard to chase them little rascals around. You're like, go get that. Go get that. But the remote control's right there. You go get it. I need a drink of water. Oh, okay. No, you go get it. I came in this morning, and I was turning on the lights, and I turned on the light switch over here, and Jordan came in. And I said, okay, I have the light switch over there, and I got the light switch over there. I said, now I can either run over there and turn on the light, or I can say, Jordan, go over there. Turn on the light. He took off. I said, man, this is good. Went right over there, turned on the lights. Train them. Teach them. Teach them. Because you don't have that long with them. And they're not a burden. If the Bible says that they're a blessing, guess what? That's what they are, a blessing. Sometimes they break your heart, y'all. I'll be the first one to tell you that. Sometimes they break your heart, but you still pray. You pray, and you pray some more. And you trust God. Amen. You got to be a mother of faith. You got to be a mother who wears the hat of fearing God. You have to be a mother who wears the hat of a prayer warrior. Let's talk about a mother who's a mother of praise. Who's a mother of praise? Turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, verses 20 and 21. Exodus chapter 15, verses 20 and 21. You know, when we first spoke, our first was a mother of faith, and that was Jochebed. And we talked about how Jochebed placed Moses into the bulrushes, off to the side, and Pharaoh's daughter found him. And then we talked about Moses' sister and how Moses' sister was off to the side. And when she picked up the baby, Moses' sister was like this. Hey, here you go. We're going to guess what? That's Miriam. That's Miriam. That's Moses' sister, Miriam. Now they're all grown up. They're all grown up here in Exodus 15. They're all grown up. And now God has just used Moses in a mighty way to take his people across the Red Sea on dry land. We all know about Moses. We all know about the Red Sea. But do we all know that once they got on the other side of the Red Sea, there was a woman of praise? The Bible says in Exodus chapter 15, verses 20 and 21, and it reads, "And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, 'Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea.'" Sing ye unto the Lord. Moses' sister, a woman of praise. Women, when you see where God has done something marvelous in your life, where God has delivered you out of something that the doctor said, oh, doctor, you can't ever have no baby. That said, no, you can't have no baby. But God said, oh, yes, you can. Praise him. Praise him. Doctor walked in, shook his head, said, you ain't going to get up off this bed. You ain't going home. You ain't going home. I told y'all before about my Uncle Bob. Everybody came from all over the country. All his kids come over across the country, go see him. They pulled the plug on Uncle Bob. When I drove up that summer, he's sitting out in the driveway smoking a cigarette looking at me. Praise him. God does wonderful things. Some of y'all made it through college. You ain't got no clue how you made it through college. Praise him. Some of you got jobs making more money than your mom and daddy together. Praise him. See, God has a problem with us because we have a tendency not to say, thank you, Lord. You're so good, God. We find all this of you. I don't have this, and I don't have that, and I don't have this. And praise him. Thank him. For what all he has done for you and for what all he's going to do, y'all. Amen. Because he ain't through yet. As long as you're drawing breath, he ain't through. Because he wants to use you. He has already told us, I wish that no man should perish. Now, how's he going to accomplish that? I'm going to use you as a testimony. And how am I going to be a testimony? Because when God does something to me and through me, I get to praise him. How did you make it? When I used to hear that song called How I Got Over, it's an old song, How I Got Over. I thought that was the craziest song. I mean, how you got over? Well, now I got a few more years on me. And I look back, and I see situations that I really should not have gotten out of alive. I see situations that I should, that just stupid stuff. But God. And now, then I didn't, but now I got enough sense to praise him and thank him for all he's done. And I tell everybody, I got the opportunity to talk to a Muslim man the other day at the kids track field day. I said, this man probably so sick of hearing me talk about Jesus, but that's all right, I don't care. Because God wants him saved too. God wants him saved. He told me, I got to tell you this. I said something, and it was just God. I said something just messed him up. Because, you know, they deny ISIS. Oh, we hate ISIS. Those, they don't represent Islam. Those guys, they deserve to die. Oh, he went on and on and on. Now, he'll say that to me, but will he say that at his mosque? Will he say that out in public? Now, he'll say it to me privately. Oh, yes. I hate this. I disavow this and this. And so I said to him, I said, I agree with you. Except for one thing. He said, what's that? I said, they're evil. And I think they deserve to be punished. I said, but I don't want them to die and go to hell. I want Jesus to save them. Shook him up. See, because there's no grace there, y'all. There's no grace there. There's only the law. But you and I have been shown grace because God has said to you and to me, he said, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He has said that to you. He has spoken that in his word. And that's exactly what it means. And people can't understand grace. Grace is not because I'm good. Grace is because God is good. I am never going to be what I'm supposed to be. But that don't mean I'm supposed to stop trying. We have to be people. You have to be mothers and women of praise. Give God his due. Give him what he so marvelously and wonderfully deserves. Last thing. We talked about a mother of faith. We talked about Jochebed and how she trusted God when she put Moses into the river. And she trusted him. We talked about the midwives who were women who feared God and they refused to obey the government when the government told them to kill the baby boys. We talked about being a woman who wears the hat of prayer. We talked about Hannah and how Hannah prayed. She asked God to give her a child, a man child. And then we talked about Miriam, Moses' sister, who spontaneously, after God miraculously and wonderfully, we read about the crossing of the Red Sea. We read about it. But let me see you wrap your mind around going over here to Joe Pool Lake. And you stand there one night. And when you wake up the next morning, there's a path right through the middle on dry ground at Joe Pool Lake Church. Do you hear what I'm saying? You want to see why she started praising and shouting and singing when God brought them through? See, we look at it as just a story. We don't look at it as an account. We don't look at how marvelous thing God did that she just broke out in praise. Because she said, not only did we go across on dry land, but when Pharaoh's army tried to follow us, God brought the water down on all of our enemies. Give him some praise, church. Give him some praise. Last. You have to be a mother who wears the hat of obedience. A mother who wears the hat of obedience. You know, sometimes that could be really tough. And the toughest place for it is in the house. I dare say that's one of the toughest places for it is in the house. Because some mothers and some women married to some pretty rough jokers, married some pretty rough men who ain't where they need to be by any stretch of the imagination. Ladies, keep praying. Bible says that his very salvation may depend on how it goes with you and him. Keep praying as long as you can. Keep praying as long as you can. And through your obedience, you're not obeying him, you're obeying God. And that's how you got to look at it, ladies. That's how you got to look at it. And that's tough, because some of y'all women are smart. Y'all smart. Some of y'all women make some big money, and your husband out there throwing newspapers. That's not a dishonorable job. I'm just saying it doesn't compare to what some of the women are making financially. And you find it very difficult to submit. But I'm here to tell you, through your submission to him, the Bible says you don't know, but he might end up getting saved just by watching your submission to him. Because don't you fool yourself. He know he ain't no good. He knows. The Bible tells you the woman was deceived. Adam was not deceived. I want you to know, when we ain't no good, and I'm speaking from personal experience and from scripture, we know it. We know it. When we hurt your feelings, usually it's not by accident. Because we know you. And we know the buttons to push. Now, having said that, y'all know which buttons to push too. And we can't take it. We can't take it. So the Lord says, you don't return reviling for reviling. And as you follow Christ, you can be a major influence on that man. And I want you to know, we pray here as a church. We pray for each and every family here, because it's not your family. It's not just your family. If God mentions it, it's all around the world. It's this family trouble, because that's the first ordinance that God gave. That's the first command that God gave, was be fruit, husband and wife, be fruitful and multiply. So where is the devil going to do his most damage? In the house. In the house. But when we put on those hats, ladies, when y'all put on those hats, when you put on that hat of obedience, and you start, you got to be like one of those horses at the Derby. You got to have blinders on your eyes, because you get tripped up. But sometimes you just got, okay, I'm not doing it for his sake. I'm doing it for Jesus' sake. I'm not doing it for his sake. I'm doing it for Jesus' sake. I'm doing it for Jesus. Because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says, if you can't do it for his sake, do it for my sake. And if that's what it takes, to the best of your ability, do it, ladies. I'm going to talk about this one lady of obedience, this mother of obedience. Teenage girl. Teenage girl. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. This is after the angel of the Lord has appeared. This is after the angel Gabriel has appeared to Mary, the young virgin. And he says to Mary, he lets her know that you are going to become with child through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Mary's, she's like, I've never been with a man. I don't know how this is going to work out. I've never been with a man. But look what she says in verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. When you read this passage, I want you to understand, because of our fear of becoming Roman Catholic, we don't give Mary enough credit. They give her more credit than what she's supposed to have according to Scripture. But because we're Baptists, we kind of downplay. But Mary was a woman highly favored of God. And when you read this passage, I want you to understand, Mary had a choice. The angel told her, he presented the whole scenario to her, and Mary had a choice. Because all people have a choice. Mary had a choice. And Mary said, in obedience, she said, be it unto me according to thy word. Oh, y'all. If we could ever get to the point to where we as Christians, and especially mothers, because y'all have so much influence, where you can get to the point to when you see something written in the Word of God, and you're not really quite sure, you don't really quite get it, but you're pretty sure it says what it says. If we could ever get to that point to we say, be it unto me according to thy word, where we can say, not my will, but your will be done. That's Mother's Day, y'all. I wanted y'all to know that the Bible speaks clearly and abundantly about godly women and their contributions to this world, to the Jewish community, to the church community, to the nations. But this world always downplays. This world's always telling you, you aren't a strong woman. If you aren't there, if you aren't doing what a man's doing, the way a man is doing it, you're not a strong woman. I dare say many of us were raised by mamas who could take $5 and feed 8 of us for a week. That's a strong woman. I dare say that some of us had mamas. I was one of 8 children. And on Sunday morning, 8 kids go walking into church looking like soldiers. Haircut. Yeah, my mama cut my hair. Hair cut, suit pressed, shirt ironed. Hut, 2, 3, 4, right through the door. 8! And got there on time. 9:15. Sunday school started at 9:15. Brother Matthews, 9:15. 9:15. Guess what? We was already there. 8 kids, mama. You can do this. You can be a major contributor to this. You have a lot. You have a lot that you can do, mothers. And the children that you. That Proverbs 31 says, "When you've done a job with your children, what does Proverbs say about the Proverbs 31 woman? her children shall call her what? Blessed. Now, don't expect it till we get a little bit older. Amen? Because when we're in our teenage years, y'all mama ain't got no sense. Mama ain't got no sense. But it's not till we get a little bit older. And then we say, oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. Oh, what wisdom. What strength. What beauty. Are they ever going to write a book about my mother? I doubt it. Are they ever going to make a movie about my mother? I doubt it. Are they going to make a movie about your mother? I doubt it. But the fact that you're here in church today is a testimony to your mama. Somebody put some time in with you. Last thing with Mary. Through her obedience. Y'all see what God did through her obedience? I told you, you don't know what your kid's going to be. Now, God told her what her was going to be. God told her her baby was going to be the Son of God. And he's going to be the Savior of the whole world. And because of Mary's obedience, y'all, God raised up a son, his only son, through the auspices of earthly parents. He raised up his son. And his son preached the gospel. His son told the whole world that, and I, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Mary didn't know that was going to happen. She knew he's going to be the Son of God, but she didn't know how it was all going to work out. And she didn't know what all was in store for her. She didn't know that they were going to take her baby boy. And that one day the whole world, her baby boy who did nothing but miracles, her baby boy who did nothing but give sight to the blind, heal the lame, raise the dead, her baby boy who done nothing but good, she had no idea that one day they were going to nail him to a cross. And they were going to hang him high. And they were going to beat him. They were going to spit on him. And they were going to crucify her baby boy. But because of her obedience, that baby boy that was promised to her, the Bible says when he was in the grave for 3 days, he got up. He got up with all power of heaven and earth. Because of his obedient mama, because of Mary, because Mary humbled herself and said, Lord, whatever you want, I'm going to obey. We now, through that son, we have the right to become sons of God. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Ladies, last word. Appreciate, emulate, and give God thanks for all the godly mothers. God bless you.